Shavu, number 3, night vision of a dead man. I was in a deep, deep sleep in the early wee hours of the morning, around 4 a.m. or so. And I was standing, looking at a man that was lying down, probably about a foot and a half, 2 feet away from me. The upper part of his torso and his head. And this is the same previous man. Other visions and our dreams. and a night vision is unique. A night vision means you have a vision. It's as though you were there. And when you wake, you're still in the vision. It has a significance that regular open-eye visions or visions when you're dreaming or praying for people dreams have. And this man was dead. There is no life in him. He was dead. He was dead. He was dead. And I didn't know what to think. I didn't feel anything. I didn't conjecture anything. All I knew was, oh my gosh, he's dead. As I awoke, the vision still stayed in front of me. Lingering visions customarily represent the Holy Spirit trying to speak to you. And this was several weeks ago. This was very recent. I'm not in touch with this person. I basically don't have anything to do with him. So I was surprised. And the first thing that came to me is the wages of sin is death. Let me talk to you a little bit about carnal Christians who make their own choices and put the label of God on it. Okay? We'll look at some example from scriptures also. David, who had wives and children, concubines, his little entourage that followed him, didn't go out to battle and saw Bathsheba and lusted and coveted another man's wife. While this man was still alive. But I'm sure he had his justification. He was the king, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he knew Bathsheba and she conceived. And it so offended God. Now look, we have a higher standard than David. Okay? Than the Old Testament, because we have the Holy Spirit. So sexual immorality on any level is a violation against the body. And it's a violation against God's covenant and the Ten Commandments. It's coveting another man's wife, and it's being sexually immoral. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Put these kind of people outside of the fellowship. Okay? Put them out. Because this particular sin is leaven. It permeates the whole body. And now you've got sexual sin happening all over whatever congregation you go to. Okay? Oh, God save me. I mean, people who jump in bed with people who follow them are pretty licentious. Lascivious. Okay, let's just face it. And so, this, when they're put in positions of leadership, it brings sin into the body of Christ. And woe to the pastors who permitted it and allowed it. You'll stand before God. Fear not. In fact, you should fear. You should fear the living God. We can cast you into hell. Okay? Greed is another one. You don't hear people being thrown out of the body of Christ or separated out until there's true repentance. So until there's real repentance, there's no restoring back to the body of Christ. It just isn't there. It just doesn't happen. Because they bring those spirits with them. So in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, so they're coming together. Why are they coming together? Okay, because these people have fornication among you, and such is not even named among the Gentiles that someone should have his father's wife, incest. So when you get together and the power of God is there and our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? So therefore, put out the old leaven. This lines up with, or purge it, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the crucifixion, the resurrection, the death of our Lord, that brings judgment. Be careful whether you eat it, what you eat and drink. Communion, you will bring judgment on you if you drink unworthily. Oh, and it also says in Corinthians that some of you have died young, early, before your time, because you presumed on the Lord. You drank unworthily. So we have liberty in Christ. You know, you're not my judge. You know, Jesus loves me even though I screw up. Really? If you're his child, he will discipline you. This guy was going to be, his flesh was going to be given over to Satan. That's pretty serious stuff there. Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast with not the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in an epistle not to have company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetousness, or the extortioners, or with the idolaters. For them, you must needs go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard. We could put drug addict in there also. Or an extortioner, with such a one to not even eat. For what I have to do to judge them. Also that you're outside. Do not you judge them that are inside. Do not, did you hear me? For what have I to do to judge them? Also that are outside, do not you judge them that are inside? But them that are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. It says, dare any of you having a matter against another, go to the to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that are pertaining to this life? If then you have judgment, of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are less esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it not so that there's not a wise among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between the brethren. But brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly at fault among you, because you go to the law, one with another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that's your brothers. All right, I'm going to leave it off right there. So, yes, we do judge in the body of Christ. There's judgment outside of the body of Christ with the course of law. And if we are defrauded by our brothers or sisters, and this is, notice where this started off with. Covetousness, sexual immorality, specifically fornication, and sins that defile the body. Sins that defile the body. So this man was dead. He was dead. He was dead. He was dead. And you better be careful that you don't take communion and then continue in sin or justifying your sin, because there will become a point where your conscience will be seared and you will not be able to come back and repent. Just like Esau, Jacob. Esau sought the blessing with tears and crying and, oh! And it was too late. Too late.